Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There are few things more destructive to our lives than feeling as though we are without hope. Friend, hope is alive, and it's alive through Jesus Christ. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study Hope is Alive. Stay with us. There's nothing more debilitating than hopelessness. I don't know if today's broadcast finds you facing hopeless circumstances or events that have unfolded in your lives, things that have come unraveled from under you and cause you to wonder, where is God and what's going on in my life? Well, friend, welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Southern California. And today we study Hope is Alive. In Christ, you can, you do have hope. For all who trust Him, for all who believe in Him, for all who are following Him and claiming His promises, there is an eternal, wonderful hope found in the promises of His Word. And in this series, Hope is Alive, we're going to unpack that hope and discover it on a personal level. I know every message will encourage your heart. Before we dive into the Word of God today, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, also links to the Daily in the Word podcast and recent publications from Dr. Chappell. All of this is intended to help you grow in grace, in the knowledge of Christ, and in your hope in Him. Today we're going to study Kingdom Hope, Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Here's Paul Chappell.
Our senior class from Lancaster Baptist High School visited Washington, D.C. a few days ago. And the young people came back and several of them said, "Pastor, I was so thrilled to see remnants of our Christian history there in our nation's capital." And there certainly are many, many public buildings that have inscriptions of the Word of God and reminders of our Christian history. The Capitol building has many references to God on the walls and around the property. You'll notice reference to a nation under God. The Senate chamber has "In God We Trust" on the walls inscribed as a reminder of our forefathers' trust in the Lord. The Capitol prayer room has in Psalm 16 and verse 1 the scripture, "Preserve me, O God, in Thee do I put my trust." And there are still those who use that prayer room. And we're thankful that while their number is smaller, that they're using it. And we pray that their number will increase. And we thank God for the scripture there. The Library of Congress, perhaps you've seen or heard of John 1:5 being found there on the walls. "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And I have seen in the Rayburn Building, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And from place to place throughout our capital, we see reminders of America's Christian history. Samuel Adams wrote in 1772 these words, "The right to freedom is the gift of the Almighty. The rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institution of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament." How we thank God for our American heritage, how we thank God for our American history. The fact is, however, that empires rise and fall. The fact is that countries are strong and sometimes countries are weak. And while we are very proud of America today, we are thankful for our freedom and for the price that was paid. As Christians, we know today this world is not our home. We are just passing through. And we must live every day loving America, witnessing to Americans for Jesus Christ, but also realizing that our ultimate hope is in the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we preach about today, our kingdom hope. I remember being at my grandmother's 90th birthday a few days back, and we sang some of her favorite songs. And I told you last week that it was her birthday. She wrote out the script, and we did what she said. And her favorite song she wanted to sing with the whole group was the song, "I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop." And she wanted to sing songs about heaven. And she told me, she said, "I'm ready to go whenever the Lord is ready to take me." By the way, that's a great way to live, isn't it? Ready to go whenever the Lord is ready to take you. And you see, some of us, I suppose, if we looked at it this way, we'd realize that we're involved in our jobs, we're involved in the things of this earth, but the closer you get to that point, you recognize that this earth, the kingdoms of this earth, that's not what it's all about. It's all about our relationship with God. It's all about one day being a part of His eternal kingdom. Well, let's study this subject this morning of the kingdom of God. Would you notice with me the announcement of the kingdom? Where do we first start hearing about this terminology called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? You know, it was first announced to the house of David. And God gave through His prophets revelation to David that He was going to set up a kingdom and that David would rule and reign, but that this kingdom would be a very special kingdom. It would be a kingdom that would have eternal ramifications. And I want you to notice in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Verse 16, "And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." This was called a covenant made to David. This particular covenant is key in the promises given to Israel regarding the future kingdom of not only David's line being established by Solomon, but the ultimate kingdom that would be established from the line of David by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the kingdom that was promised to the children of Israel and would be fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. David's kingdom would be established under Solomon, and Solomon, of course, built the temple. David's kingdom was referred to as an eternal kingdom. And it was said in this prophecy that God's mercy would not depart from David's kingdom. Psalm 89 and verse 34 backs that up. It says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." The Davidic covenant. It was a promise that David's kingdom would endure forever. Now someone says, well, David and Solomon are gone and the kingdom they once knew has been set aside. But God's promises are not gone, and God promised that this kingdom would be forever. How would that kingdom continue? Well, we know from the scriptures that kingdom continues because Jesus Christ lives. Isaiah spoke about the kingdom in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 when he prophesied. He said these words concerning Jesus Christ. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." the promise, the announcement of the kingdom was made to David concerning the house of David, and it will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ establishes his throne to rule and to reign on this earth. And so the promise was given to David that there would be a blessing through his line, that his kingdom would be eternal in consequence. But I want you to notice not only the announcement made to the house of David, but the continuation of this promise concerning God's kingdom. Notice, secondly, it was made to the hearts of all people. You see, at the end of David's life, there was the continuation of an earthly kingdom. But then there has been the dispersion. There has been this time where the children of Israel were set apart. We thank God that they have had the restoration of their nation in the 1940s, and we recognize that is the beginning of the culmination of world history as we know it, preparing the way, I believe, for the coming of the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ would have us to be ready for, his coming. But I want you, if you would, to hear the prophecies concerning this kingdom. Hear the prophecy, if you would, of Gabriel. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now we begin to realize how God intended the kingdom of David to be an everlasting kingdom. It would be from the house and lineage of David that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, would come. And it would be through the Lord Jesus Christ that this kingdom would be established, which would be forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ is called the Son of the Highest because he is God in the flesh. And Jesus would rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. That was the proclamation of Gabriel. But do you know, it was also the proclamation of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an intertestament prophet. He was preparing the way of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that John said in Matthew 3 and verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was announcing, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ will come, and be ready. The Lord Jesus is coming. The kingdom of heaven will come." Well, Gabriel announced it, as did the prophets of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist announced it. And isn't it amazing then, when Jesus came and began his ministry, in Matthew 4:17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was announcing with this that he was the literal fulfillment personally to the prophecies given to David. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It could be said that Jesus could have stood before the crowds and said, "I am here, the one that was prophesied by David, by Isaiah. I am here, the kingdom of David, ultimately the eternal kingdom of God. I am here," Jesus said, "it is established." You see, the kingdom of heaven is the literal earthly kingdom that God had promised to David in the Old Testament. And yet one day there will be a literal visible kingdom ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is establishing the fact that he is the one to bring that kingdom in. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we see in the scriptures the announcement of the kingdom announced to David, but also announced to all of us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we hear those terms, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The question I have for you this morning, how does someone gain entrance into that kingdom? We know that birth in this land gives someone citizenship in this land. We know that others can immigrate into this country legally, and they can, by that immigration process, establish their citizenship. But what must one do to be a part of the kingdom which Jesus spoke about, this eternal kingdom, this kingdom of God? I want you to think about the admission to the kingdom, if you would, this morning. Jesus spoke of a literal Davidic kingdom as well as an eternal kingdom. But I speak to you this morning of this eternal kingdom, this kingdom that Jesus Christ came to establish. How is one admitted into that kingdom? I want to say, first of all, we are admitted by way of the new birth. By way of the new birth. Now let's look at John chapter 3, if you would, for just a moment, and verse number 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doest these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, what does it say, class? The kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Last night, we had some of my wife's relatives to our home, and we had a little barbecue and a time of fellowship. And my wife's older brother, Bobby, he's 62, a businessman from the Bay Area. And we've prayed for him for years. He's Roman Catholic background. He's attended Mass every Sunday for 26 years. And we were sharing some things. Maybe I'll tell you more about it sometime. I didn't plan in this message, but I thought I'd share concerning John 3. We were talking with him about some different things and about the Vatican in Rome and how many people will go there and kiss the toe of St. Peter, the statue, and kiss the caskets of the dead popes. And we were just discussing that. And I said, Bobby, it seems to me many times that Roman Catholics have more of a relationship with the church and the relics of the church than a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And we had seen some other things and talked about that for a while. And after a while, he sat down next to me and he said, Paul, he said, do you feel as though I'm one of those Catholics that might have more of a relationship with the church than with Jesus? I said, well, Bobby, I want to tell you, it's a fact that most Catholics don't have a personal relationship with the Savior. They feel like if they weren't keeping the sacraments, they would not go to heaven. And I said, there's an important decision we must all make. And we must make that decision to be saved, or the Bible calls it to be born again. And I opened up these verses with him. And I read to him this phrase, you must be born again. Listen to me. 26 years, every Sunday, a Roman Catholic church. He said to me, I never knew the words born again were found in the Bible. He said, in fact, I don't have a Bible. And he said, I think maybe I do have a relationship with the church, but not with a Savior. And after a little while, he prayed to accept Christ as Savior. When he got done praying, he looked up at me and he said, it's a gift, not a payment. He said, all my life I've been making a payment, but today I receive the gift. You know, it's a wonderful thing to enter into the kingdom, and it's free because Jesus Christ has paid the price on the cross of Calvary. You know, friends, this morning you can enter into God's kingdom by being born again. We're born physically into this world, but we're born spiritually by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, and it comes through the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Now we see in the Scriptures, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Nicodemus said, I know you've got something, Jesus. What do I do? And Jesus said, if you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, then you must be born again. That happens through the new birth. And that happens because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, as they would take time for sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrificial system involved the shedding of the blood of an animal. And that animal was brought into the tabernacle or the temple. And that animal was placed on the brazen altar. And as that animal would be brought into the brazen altar, people would give this animal as an atonement for their sin. And this was the process during this early Davidic kingdom, during the days of Solomon and the building of the temple, when men and women would come, they would bring the innocent animal, the animal's blood would be shed and offered there on the brazen altar. And this was God's plan. It was the shedding of the blood for the remission of sin. But thank God, when John the Baptist was preaching there on the Jordan River banks, one day he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." No longer would the blood of goats and lambs be offered and sacrificed, for now the one that all of these had pictured had come, and his name was Jesus Christ. And the cross replaced all of that sacrificial system, and it is through the cross of Jesus Christ that our sins have been forgiven. John chapter 3 and verse 14 speaks of it. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, admission into the kingdom must come through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for our sin. "And whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life." During World War II, there was a paratrooper by the name of David Webster. He was in the 101st Airborne Unit. And he wrote to his mother a letter that speaks highly of the character of our veterans and those who gave great sacrifice to save our freedom and, in many cases, our nation. He wrote, "Dear Mother, stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." Think of that. "Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." And when I was given a copy of that letter written to that mother, I thought, how true indeed. Those things that are precious are saved only by sacrifice. And we celebrate the sacrifice of our veterans and those that have given us our freedom. But we also celebrate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on the old rugged cross that we might be a part of his eternal kingdom. And when Jesus was there on that cross, he shed his blood for the remission of sins. Now let me remind you this morning, the blood that was shed was the pure blood of Almighty God. It was God shedding his blood, for Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the bloodline came into Jesus Christ, not from an earthly father, but it came from the Holy Ghost. And therefore, when the blood was shed, it was not the blood of just another man. It was the blood of God shed for you and for me. Acts 20:28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," it says, "over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." This is speaking to the pastors at Ephesus. But notice, if you would, the last part of this verse. "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his," what do the last few words say? "Own blood."
Well, you've been listening to Hope is Alive with Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying and rediscovering how God's Word and how the person of Jesus Christ represents a living hope for everyone who follows and believes and trusts in him. Friend, hope in Christ really begins with a relationship with him. And you enter into that relationship the moment you trust him, the moment you place your faith and belief in him as your only Savior. If you've never made that decision, we encourage you to bow your head and heart wherever you may be and simply make that faith decision, that decision to repent and turn from a life of unbelief to a life of belief, to accept Jesus Christ as the God-man, the only Savior who can truly pay for your sins, come into your life, and give you his gift of eternal life. If you have questions about that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. I do want to invite you to visit our ministry online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. This website is a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth and for the spiritual growth of those that you love. First, you'll find a complimentary daily devotional. You can subscribe to this. It can come to your email box every day with a word of encouragement from Pastor Chapel, and also an Old and New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. This is completely free of charge. And also on the website, you'll find links to the Daily in the Word podcast. If you miss a program, or if you know of a friend that would like to listen to Daily in the Word free of charge in an area where we do not broadcast on a radio station, you can download this program, subscribe to it, take it with you on your phone or iPod or computer, and listen at your convenience. That's the Daily in the Word podcast. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Pastor Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a 180-page hardback book. It's an allegory that will help you rediscover what a relationship with God really is all about when it comes to the burdens of this life. It's an encouraging book. It's a book you won't want to put down. You will then pass it along to folks that you know in your life who are bearing up under difficult trials and burdens. Once again, it's called The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks again for listening to this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.